For WKU Public Radio, I'm Kevin Willis. Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell makes no secrets about his desire to block President Obama's agenda at almost every turn. The latest flashpoint is the president's U.S. Supreme Court nominee, Merrick Garland. McConnell says the Senate won't hold hearings for Garland. The Louisville Republican believes Mr. Obama should let the next president fill the high court vacancy. That position has been blasted by Democrats who say McConnell is ignoring the president's constitutional obligation to put forth a nominee and the Senate's obligation to provide advice and consent. Senator McConnell sat down with WKU Public Radio today to discuss the Supreme Court and the presidential contest. We asked McConnell about his GOP Senate colleague, Mark Kirk of Illinois, who has called for his party to hold a vote on Garland and who is meeting the nominee tomorrow.
Well, Senator Kirk is a terrific senator. He's up for re-election this year, and I'm confident he's going to get re-elected. The fundamental issue, I think, and most of my colleagues think, is who ought to make this appointment. This president, in the waning days of his presidency, or the one we're in the process right now of picking. So the principle being established here is let the American people decide who makes this appointment. Now, I think it's also interesting to note that was the position of Vice President Joe Biden in 1992 when he was chairman of the Judiciary Committee. He said that the Senate would not act on a nominee on a vacancy created in the middle of a presidential election. Harry Reid, a few years later, said the president nominates, but the Senate doesn't even have to vote. And Chuck Schumer, who's going to be the next Democratic leader, said 18 months before the end of Bush 43's period, they wouldn't fill a vacancy if one were created.
Senator, have you faced any other opposition from GOP Senate colleagues other than Senator Kirk of Illinois who disagree with the path that you've set out?
Well, look, I'm not a dictator. I'm the leader of the Senate, but I'm not a dictator. There may be some members who have a contrary view, but I can tell you the overwhelming majority of my members think that the American people ought to first decide who the president's going to be, and then that person ought to decide who the nominee is going to be.
Some Republicans have suggested that the party might consider taking up the Garland nomination after the November election should a Democrat win. In other words, if Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders wins the presidential contest, I think the fear from some Republicans is that maybe that winner puts forth an even more liberal nominee, perhaps much more liberal than Judge Garland. What's wrong with that equation in your mind?
I have tried to avoid commenting on the nominee, but your question implies what is Judge Garland? Now, Barack Obama declaring somebody a moderate doesn't make him a moderate. Garland is opposed by the National Rifle Association. He's opposed by the National Federation of Independent Business. That's America's small business organization, which has never taken a position on a Supreme Court nominee before. The thought that this majority Republican Senate would confirm such a liberal nominee after the American people have spoken, but before the new president comes into office, is inconceivable.
Senator, you just mentioned the NRA, and I believe it was during an interview with Fox News Sunday where you recently brought up the NRA's opposition to the Garland nomination, and many of your critics saw that as essentially an admission that special interest groups such as the NRA have what they might describe, the critics might describe as an unfair say in who the next U.S. Supreme Court nominee is. Why should the NRA's opposition matter?
Well, you know, MoveOn.org is very much in favor of the nominee. Labor unions are in favor of the nominee. Americans are free to express their views. Frankly, I don't think we ought to consider this nominee because of the principle involved, which is that this late in the middle of a presidential election year, you ought to let the American people decide who's going to be the nominator. But I think people on both sides have weighed in. It's an important issue. It will tip the balance of the Supreme Court probably for the next quarter of a century.
When you say the people should decide, did the people not decide the last time there was an election and they reelected Barack Obama, which in theory over the course of a 4-year period would then give him the right to nominate who he would want to nominate?
Yeah, the last election, the American people overwhelmingly elected a Republican Senate. That was the last election in 2014. And look, we have shared responsibility under the Constitution. We don't have to ask him permission. He nominates and we decide whether to confirm, an independent decision under the Constitution. So he made his decision, and we're making ours.
Senator, switching gears now to the U.S. Presidential race, your party, the Republican Party, is being represented in that race right now, for the most part, by Donald Trump and Senator Ted Cruz. Mr. Trump, as you know, has come under fire for what many have described as xenophobic and sexist remarks during the campaign. Senator Cruz once described you as a liar during a floor speech at the U.S. Senate. So I have to ask you, what do you make of the fact that your party right now is being represented by Senator Cruz and Mr. Trump?
Yeah, what I'm going to do is support the nominee. At some point, somebody will get 1,237 delegate votes, and they'll be the nominee. Until that time, I'm going to avoid weighing in on the presidential contest.
You say at some point somebody will have the necessary delegates to claim the nomination, but what if that doesn't happen before the Republican National Convention in Cleveland this summer? There's been much talk about a so-called brokered convention. Do you think that is potentially in the cards?
Well, I think we need to follow the rules. And the rules are, when you get to 1,237, you have the nomination. If there is more than one ballot, depending upon state law, some delegates are free to do whatever they choose to. But that's not a brokered convention. That's simply following the rules of the convention, which I think should be followed meticulously. When a nominee gets to 1,237, a candidate gets to 1,237, they're the nominee. If that doesn't happen on the first ballot, then there's a second ballot. If that doesn't happen on the second ballot, then there's a third. So I don't, the term brokered implies that there's some kind of fix or some kind of deal. What I think we ought to do is follow the rules. And the rules say, as I indicated, when you get to 1,237, whether it's on first, second, or third ballot, you're the nominee.
Senator, a few weeks ago, the New York Times reported on a meeting they said you had with other Republican senators in which they describe you as telling them, those other Republican senators, that the party would drop Donald Trump if he's the nominee, that the party would drop him like a hot rock. Those were the words they quoted you as saying. And they also went on to describe you as telling other Republican senators that you would give your blessing should they feel the need to distance themselves from a Trump nomination, and even give your blessing to the idea of other senators in the party running attack ads against Donald Trump. Did that meeting happen, and is that the way you really feel?
Yeah, what I've said publicly, I'll say again to you right now, which is that every one of these Senate races are different. You know, how you run for the Senate in New Hampshire may be very different from how you run in Ohio. And one of the nice things about statewide races as opposed to congressional races is they can have an individual, you know, a separate profile. And I think each of our Senate candidates, and we have incumbents up in very competitive states, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, Illinois. We have an open seat in Nevada we're going to compete for, a seat in Colorado we're going to compete for, and an open seat in Florida we're going to compete for. Every one of those races will look different depending upon who the candidates are and what part of the country you're in. And that is completely separate from what may be happening at the top of the ticket.
Senator McConnell, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Kentucky Republican and U.S. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Kevin Willis.